I'm known to flash the V as a friendly sort of sign, but now instead of peace, something different's on my mind. I'd like my passers-by to get this interpretation. The V's a temporary hint to get that vaccination. A little longer verse than normal. Hi, everybody. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Water sliding into your day with news, views, and personalities within the arts, culture, and humanities found in abundance in western Wisconsin. This week, a reminder about the St. Croix Valley Art Opener Studio Tour with an emphasis on opener. It's next weekend. If you're gearing up for the worldwide Make Music Day, and if not, you still have time, we'll hear about how various Wisconsin locations are going to do it, including some right under our noses. And we'll get some actual clear details and some other hints about upcoming reopening seasons for two of Western Wisconsin's primary entertainment and artistic venues. Pablo Center at the Confluence is just days away from their announcements. And what do you say we drop the puck on today's episode right here? From what I've heard, Mabel Tainter, the girl and the young lady, was not one to sit idle. She loved to play the piano, dress up, and imagine herself. Well, that's kind of like the theater that bears her name. It's not content just sitting on Main Street East. It's much more comfortable hosting concerts and welcoming people to all kinds of events. So, for the last year or so, Mabel has not been Mabel. But that's changing, so we contacted Executive Director Lucas Chase to hear about how and when. You brought your experience into a brand new and totally unexpected situation, and that brand new situation turned out to have a whole lot of novel ingredients. So is it possible, right, Lucas, to put into words how the last months, which happened to also be your first on the job, have been?
Well, you know, my experience really started back in March of 2020. I was working at the Ordway Center in St. Paul, and during that time we were in the midst of a Broadway performance, which we had to stop and kind of take a break from, not knowing what would happen. A few weeks later, we got the notice that 95% of the staff at the Ordway was going to be laid off, and I was one of those individuals working on the performance side of things. So that's really when my adventure with this COVID-19 pandemic started. And then coming back to Menominee, still being on the board at the Mabel Tainter, kind of gave me the insight working in a larger venue of kind of what direction the Mabel could take to make it successful here. It was a perfect opportunity for me to step in, really focusing on how can the Mabel still be a vital part of the community during this time and how the community can support the Mabel getting through this difficult period.
As an executive director, you kind of have received about 10 years of executive directorship experience and maybe just over one or so on the calendar.
That's very true. It's been a lot of work rebooking shows, planning 6 months ahead, and then the 6 months comes to present day and you're not able to do those shows. So then rescheduling all of that, kind of just getting almost three seasons into one short season from rebooking and finding new dates for performances. So in that regard, yes. And especially the volume of fundraising that we've been trying to do to keep our doors open, is definitely true that it's been a very condensed year, but it's been a great learning experience.
I want to talk about that a little bit. Mabel Tainter, of course, has been around a long time. She's weathered a bunch of storms, and guess what? She's still here, as radiant
yes.
as she's ever been. She's a tough lady, and she has had the love and support of not just a community, but a region, as it should be. Tell me about the support.
Sure. Like you said, the Mabel's been around now for almost 135 years, and she's seen a lot of things in her day. But this might be one of the most difficult. So to combat that, we started in September our Give 20 and 20 campaign for donors throughout the area to just donate $20 to keep us open. We had almost 2,000 people give $20 or more. And of those donors, 75% were first-time donors, so they had never, ever donated to the Mabel before. It's really unheard of, so that is something we were super proud of with this campaign. We wanted everyone to feel comfortable in donating to the Mabel, and we felt at that $20 mark, that is something that most people could partake in. During the holiday season, we also started our 20 Days of Mabel Giving. We highlighted different aspects of the theater, different unique parts of the theater that people may have never seen before, and kind of tied that in with our Give 20 and 20. So kind of showcase behind the scenes, whether it was underneath the stage, some of the trap doors or hidden pathways, or the rigging system used in the late 1800s. We've also been busy writing different grants. We've received tremendous support from state and federal government. So that has just been huge. And then on May 22nd, we held our first annual Mabel's Community Celebration. We were expecting about 300 to 400 people, and we had nearly 2,000 people come out for outside music. We had four bands. We had an artisan market, food trucks. It was really a community and regional celebration as a thank you for getting the Mabel through this difficult period.
Wow, wow, wow. Good for you. Good stuff. And, you know, the cool thing about support, when someone donates to something like the Mabel Tainter and then later on during better times shows up at the door and walks in to, get their seat, I don't think you can overemphasize the feeling of pride and ownership, because you know that you helped keep the lights on.
Correct. That's the exact word I was going to use, is ownership. You know, it was a building built for the community and for the whole state of Wisconsin, to be honest with you, for people to come and enjoy live performances, both national performers and local community theater. So that's really what we strive for. We want people to feel like this is their building. And that's part of the reason why we started to term the phrase Our Mabel.
Yeah.
'Cause we want people to feel like it is their building that they can come to.
Yeah, that's Lucas Chase. He's executive director of the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Now, let's go to putting a season together, and it's your 2021-2022 season. Are there question marks yet, or is this kind of in stone? Is this kind of lookout, here comes Mabel?
This is pretty much set in stone.
Okay.
You know, just going with the way that numbers are going and with the vaccine being out, I feel, and I, with the backing of my board and the community, we feel like it's time for the Mabel to reopen. Still take those precautions of recommending masking and have sanitization stations around the building.
Mm-hmm.
But we really feel, unless there takes a turn for the worse, that this is the time. We're ready to do this, reopen again.
Good deal. And there's lots of stuff going on at the Mabel Tainter all the time. But the season, the official season, gets underway in September, goes all the way through May, according to what I'm looking at. And I'm sure you have some openings, and you will entertain adding things to the season as it goes along. As I said, there's lots of information out there, but how about a few highlights of the new season?
Sure, yeah. So some of the shows that I'm most looking forward to, on September 16th, we have a performance called High Prob. That's with Colin Mockery,
yeah,
who's from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's going to be here with Asad Mekki,
mm-hmm,
and he's a hypnotist. So they're going to do improvisation under hypnosis, which will be,
ooh,
super fun and entertaining. Another performance that I'm particularly looking forward to, Carla Cook, who's the daughter of Sam Cook. She'll be here on September 25th doing kind of a highlight of all his classical hits that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And she just can give that kind of personal touch being his daughter. So just kind of bringing a little bit more information rather than just a normal cover band. She can kind of give some of that background knowledge on him. And she just has a fantastic voice.
Mm.
And then later in the fall, we have Carlene Carter, who's the daughter of June Carter Cash, stepdaughter of Johnny Cash, one of the classic families of country, coming to the Mabel stage.
Okay.
And then we have some rescheduled shows from previous seasons, like Charlie Behrens and Rodney Crowell and Judy Collins. A few of those are almost sold out or getting close to sold out. And then looking forward to the springtime, we have the 60s doo-wop group, The Drifters, will be here at the Mabel, as well as some comedy by Paula Poundstone and Louis Anderson.
Uh-huh.
So those are kind of the highlights of the season that I'm most looking forward to.
Cool. You must be a positive person, because you're considering February 6th springtime. Good for you. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
That's the date the Drifters are
One
coming.
Can
and
hope,
you,
right? One can hope.
You put them in the springtime category. Good for you. And I'm going to hold you to
right.
that. February 6th, that better be springy, or I'm going to be back at you.
You got it.
You know, it really is an impressive lineup, and I'm looking forward to talking with many of your special guests. I've had many of them on the show previously. Colin Mockery, I'm a big fan of his. I hope to maybe talk to him as September approaches. And Judy Collins, I've yakked with her before. Paula Poundstone, maybe three times already. Louis Anderson,
sure,
a couple times. Fun stuff. But with your permission, we'll talk to them and promote those shows and have fun on our show. So, Lucas.
Absolutely.
Great. Congratulations on making it through I got to find wood. I'm going to knock on wood. Once in a lifetime incident. And once again, Mabel endures. And I have to say, I think she would be proud of your administration and the way you've handled things. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure talking with you. Thanks, Al.
The website is MabelTainter.org. This is Spectrum West. Folks, a bit later, we'll check in at Pablo Center in Eau Claire to snack on, in an actual face-to-face conversation, tidbits of Season 4 information. And coming up next, it's almost time to make a lot of music.
Support for WPR comes from Explore La Crosse, featuring access to over 100 miles of state trails through a variety of marshes, parks, ancient bluffs, and communities. Bike and hike maps are at explorelacrosse.com. Support also comes from Charter Bank, dedicated to investing in partnerships and offering Charter Bank business services with small business loans, treasury management services, and a variety of checking accounts. Details are at charterbank.bank.
June 21st is the longest day of the year, and around the world it just might be the loudest day of the year because it's Make Music Day, when groups and individuals find ways and places to make music. It's big in Wisconsin, thanks in part to the work of people like Ann Katz, director of Arts Wisconsin. To find out what this year's event is shaping up to be, I called Ann the other day, and we shared the call with Evan Middlesworth, artistic programmer at Pablo Center in Eau Claire, one of the places doing something, and after hopefully getting ramped up to full speed again, planning an impressively inclusive event for 2022. Well, Ann, you have been a stalwart guest of this program, and as I looked back at the last five conversations we've had, I noted they all had the word impact attached to them. Economic impact, impact of getting Wisconsin on board with Make Music Day when you were touring with Aaron Friedman. 5 months later, the impact of a new pandemic at that point and available resources. Then weeks later, you were on with George Sugros. You talked about venue assistance. You were one of the many guests we had on our New Year's Eve Day show on the impacts that we felt in 2020. And just a few weeks ago, the impact of Creative Wisconsin Month. So, wow. People are saying,
lots more to talk about.
Yeah,
Al.
I'm saying, people are saying, when's Ann going to be on again? I'm so used to it. And here we are about to make another impact on June 21st. So thank you, Ann Katz, for being a go-to when Wisconsin feels a wallop.
Well, I am happy to do the work because there's just so much going on and I get to be part of it all.
Good. Now, we've set the stage several times for Make Music Day. It must be something that keeps Arts Wisconsin hopping and proud. Tell me about the state response, and I'm most impressed with how individuals and small groups have stepped up to handle things in their hometowns. Give us some examples, would you please?
Yes, absolutely. And Evan is going to be able to talk about what's happening in Eau Claire, but Make Music Day has been around since the early 80s. It started in Paris, where it has now basically become a national holiday in France. Every year on the summer solstice, June 21st, no matter what day of the week it is, communities around the globe put on performances. People get together and make music. Last year, it was hard, I say, because everybody had great ideas, and then it mostly turned out to be virtual, but people still did amazing things. This year, it has become obvious that we can actually do things together outside, and everyone is really celebrating. We've got communities as large as Milwaukee and as small as Land O'Lakes, and all of the small communities in the Schwamigan Bay area and places like Barron, Wisconsin, are putting on events. And it ranges from performances at senior centers, art fairs that go along with music events. In Barron, they're going to do a drum circle at their new inclusive adaptive playground at Anderson Park. And I know there's a large Somali community in Barron. The organizers are working with that community on the drum circle and getting people to come out from all walks of life. And that's actually a huge thing about Make Music. Everybody can participate. Everybody should participate. And I know that everyone who's involved as an organizer has worked really hard to make sure as many different kinds of people in the community can participate in some sort of music event. It's wonderful.
And interestingly, Make Music Day, there were a lot of things that could not, but it was something that could be expressed and felt even during something as monumental as a pandemic.
you know, humans have been expressing themselves creatively since the beginning of time, and music is the universal language that has always brought people together. So people have turned to music for solace and for celebration and every emotion that you can think of. And we've pretty much experienced all of those emotions this year in many different ways. And so I think there are a lot of reports about people trying to make music however they can, however they have been able to during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now, as we emerge into a new world, because in a lot of ways, we're not going back to normal, we're going to create a new normal. Yeah. People are using music and something like Make Music Day to express their joy at being able to come out of their houses again and to figure out how we can continue to come together. Very inspiring.
Since you have your finger on the pulse of many things artistic in Wisconsin, I was going to say all things, but
I try.
I don't want to put that on your shoulders. Make Music Day last year, the pandemic version, did it turn out to be a breath of fresh air, a day that people could remember?
Well, definitely a day people can remember, because every moment in the pandemic was something that you think, I have to remember this because hopefully it will never happen again.
Yeah.
Before the pandemic hit, people had great ideas for doing stuff as we have always done. Mm-hmm. I was extremely impressed and grateful and humbled by how people just pivoted. We all pivoted, and we pivoted creatively, because creativity is what has gotten us through the pandemic, and figured out how to do things virtually. So many different arts experiences have been transferred to an online platform in the last 15 months. Some of which will continue, because there are a lot of ways we can enhance the experience by connecting virtually. At the same time, nothing replaces actual human contact. So last year, there were an awful lot of front porch concerts. Mm-hmm. People stood on their front porches, and you stood in someone's yard and listened to music. I know that there were what we could call drive-by performances, so people stood outside nursing homes and did performances in that way. People really tried, again, in some way to show that, you know, we're not going to let a little thing like a pandemic get us down.
Yeah.
That's too snarky, sorry. But yeah. that again, we had to do something to make us feel human and connected in a time when we just didn't really know how we could do that. And so music was the thing. So I was pretty impressed at the different methods that people used to get together and to be together.
Yeah,
and again, this year, they're taking all those great ideas from before last March and then activating them this year to be much more together than we were last year.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Make Music Day. It is June 21st all around the world, the nation, Wisconsin, and Western Wisconsin. That's the voice of Ann Katz, Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. Also on the phone with us, Evan Middlesworth. He's Director of Artistic Programming at Pablo Center at the Confluence in Eau Claire. Evan, after my chat with Ann and Aaron back in 2019 about Make Music Day as they were traveling the state, getting people all jacked up for it, I contacted some people who present and play music in West Wisconsin. I thought Eau Claire should be well represented. Everyone agreed. Since then, of course, people have shuffled around. Lots of water has passed over our dam. And, Evan, you've had lots of different kinds of fish to fry in your tenure at Pablo Center. Tell us where Eau Claire stands, what we're doing this year, and what is being considered possibly for coming years, because Eau Claire should be a big player, I would think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. We did talk about some big ideas for this year, but as we continue to discuss thoughts and concerns and in the future, we actually decided to go with a streaming show by inviting some local artists out, as well as doing a highlight reel of sorts of our past year of Pablo Streams.
Okay, so what about future years? What are you considering for Eau Claire's inclusion in the list of cities who are on the release from Arts Wisconsin and who are doing some pretty cool things? Because I would think, you know, this would be, if not something Eau Claire deserves, it would be something people would have a lot of fun with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've got that big, beautiful plaza just right next to us. So the plans for the future are to work with the city to get permits to use our plaza. We do have some things in store. I won't say just exactly what yet for 2022.
Okay.
But absolutely, you know, getting past the pandemic here and getting back to the world as quote unquote normal.
Yes, absolutely. We want to do some big fun things.
Okay, let's say that people are listening to this, and hopefully there are some. They're thinking about, you know, participating this year because maybe it's new to them, but after hearing you say, you know, we're looking to make 2022 monumental and big as it should be for Eau Claire and surrounding community, the greater Eau Claire area, Chippewa Valley, let's put it that way. Can they contact you? Who's going to be the clearinghouse for this kind of thing? Are you setting up? Is there a committee? What's going on?
Anybody can email us or me at any time with ideas. That's actually how we started to get kind of planning for 2022. You know, as a city, you know, we don't have necessarily a committee formed just yet. Not a bad idea, but we haven't, you know, really put a lot of considerable thought into that. You know, but as Pablo Center, you know, we like to provide a creative outlet for artists and be there when needed. And so, yeah, I mean, if there's ideas floating around for listeners, feel free to reach out to us. You know, but we are a very creative community, and there's a lot of options to participate. And one thing that we're actually, a couple other things we're doing for this year, our free art mobile program, an arts programs for families and kids. They're planning on making some projects for homemade instruments to go out and make music. And then also our marketing team is really pushing to the community to go out on June 21st and find whatever you can to make music and celebrate the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Make music, folks. I don't care what kind of music, just make music. So, Anne, back to you. What about people who want to participate, who are listening outside of the Eau Claire area? Let's say they live on a farm, but they want to make music. I'm sure there's going to be things posted on social media. That's going to be an active place on the 21st. How do people participate in a way that they become part of the official celebration?
I just have to say that when you say, you know, all kinds of music, I 100% support that. Wisconsin, so there are a few ways to be part of it. If you live near a make music community, go to that community or be a tourist in Wisconsin and visit another community. I mean, tourism is back in Wisconsin, and there's so many beautiful communities to visit from Eau Claire to Kenosha. Mm-hmm. And so take a trip over the weekend and stay an extra day and participate in one of those communities. Okay. Wisconsin Public Radio has been supportive and as a sponsor, and we really appreciate that. They've been doing radio spots in the various stations, in your station and other places around the state. Mm-hmm. And so the website to go to is makemusicwi.org.
Okay.
You can also go to makemusicday.org/WI, either one. And that lists places around the state that are hosting Make Music Day celebrations, and you can find out if there are in-person events or virtual events. I know that publications like Volume 1 and all of the different publications, as well as public radio, will be promoting what's happening in Eau Claire, for example. So between social media, the radio, and every other method of communication, there should be a lot of information about Make Music Day as we get closer to the 21st. So yeah, go on Facebook or Twitter, go to your local media, and you'll get the information.
Okay. I can hear people tuning up as we speak.
Hopefully.
Anne Katz and Evan Middlesworth, you both make music. You both help others make music. You enjoy watching and listening to others make music. And to support the art of making music, that's part of your jobs. So congratulations, and we look forward to seeing all of it continue and get even bigger and better as years go on. This is going to be a biggie. But thank you, too, for being with us here on Spectrum West and WPR. Make music, everybody.
Thank you, Al. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Ann.
Bye-bye. So even if you're standing in a field or sitting in a rowboat come June 21st, pull a comb wrapped in tissue or a harmonica out of your pocket and feel good knowing that you're doing something similar to what someone else is doing down the road or across an ocean. Make Music Day. The act is in the title, folks. Have fun. Got a memo for you. The Rural Arts Forum returns to the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory next Friday, June 18th. Several special guests, including the aforementioned Ann Katz and George Sugros, and it's free and it's open to everyone. It all begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you're listening on Thursday, the grand opening of the new Arts House Gallery in River Falls is today. There's an open house, and there are some classes coming up. Details on everything online at riverfallscab.org. It's time for a lot of things. One of them is the St. Croix Valley Art Opener Studio Tour, and it's a sight for sore eyes, because as with many things, it did not happen last year. One of the organizers is also one of the premier artists on the tour. Her name is Charlotte Schuld, and her studio is in Stillwater, Minnesota. We spoke on Monday. Because you're enduring the radio hot seat, which is a literal term this week, you get to talk about your work a bit.
That sounds great. Okay. Well, I am a landscape painter mostly. I have worked with acrylics, watercolor, and most lately, a lot of pastel on canvas. I just have a love of the land, maybe going back from generations of farmers. I don't know. There's something about the natural world that attracts me constantly. So that's what I paint.
Your studio is in your home?
My studio is in my home. I've got a beautiful, large space.
And I have to comment, and this is my own interpretation, you paint something that some artists stay away from, and that is water. To paint water with something reflected in it is one thing, but to paint water just being water is quite difficult and takes not just vision, but I think an inner vision that draws from memory and experience and appreciation of how many ways water can present itself. And I think, this is just my own suggestion, you should have a separate window on your website called Waterscapes. They're almost too special to be included in landscapes.
You're right, and that is a good suggestion that I will talk to my webmaster about, because I do a lot of water. I think I was originally inspired by Monet's water lilies.
Huh.
There is something about water. It shows the moods of the sky and the temperature of the day and the season remarkably. You can't just paint water. You have to paint what's underneath the water. The water show the flow, and then what's happening up in the sky.
Yeah.
So there's many layers that have to happen.
And the reason I made that comment about painting water being water is that one of the pieces that I noticed on your website, just wild waves. To paint that and to get all of the shimmers and the crashes and the white caps and all that, that's good stuff. So I guess long way around, I'm saying you're good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And that piece is for sale.
Ooh, yeah, and you notice and you appreciate. The quote I read, though, is you, quote, walk a fine line between realism and impressionism, unquote. So I guess I don't have to ask you if you add some Charlotte to your paintings, or, as I read, if you Charlotte your paintings, which is the verb, right?
Yes, I love being a verb. I do. And if you could see the photo reference that I started with and then the thumbnail sketch, where I work out shapes and values, and then I do a little watercolor study, and then the final painting, you would see the differences. Because if I'm going to do realism, and if it's going to be ultra-realistic, why don't I just become a good photographer?
Sure.
The painting process takes me into Charlotte world.
There you go.
I get to make some decisions, and I've joked with my family and friends how powerful my brush is, because I have lowered mountains and moved boulders and changed the flow of rivers on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot of fun. But the feeling of the place still has to remain for me to feel good about the finished product. And I think it does. I hope it does.
And here's a side note. As often happens when one grows very close to the subjects of their work, you are a steadfast defender of the environment. And I say good for you.
I am. And I used to joke and say, I hope my artwork aren't historical documents of what was. People would laugh. And now it's getting more and more scary.
I want to encourage people to go to your website. It's Charlotte Schuld. That's S-C-H-U-L-D.com. We are on the phone with Charlotte Schuld. She is a spokesperson for the St. Croix Valley Art Opener Studio Tour. And you're out there saying, wait, you haven't even talked about that yet, Al. But here we go. We're going to. It's June 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's next weekend. Both sides of the St. Croix River. 8 locations, over 15 artists. People are hungry, Charlotte, after no tour last year. Are there some carryover plans from last year? And how close did you get to putting on a tour last year before you had to cancel it?
We came close to reimagining it to be later in the season. The Art Opener name came from the idea that we would pretty much open up the art season in the area. So we thought, why not an art closer? But our logo, our brand is Art Opener. And then after talking to so many people and getting input, we thought, even if this COVID epidemic was on the downswing last fall, people have been so affected financially, and people are still fearful. They're still fearful now. So we just felt it was wise to cancel out for a year.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did, but I'm also so happy that we are back. All of our artists continued to produce work throughout shelter in place and the downtime that they've had from their regular jobs.
Uh-huh. Any idea what annual this is?
I've talked to a number of the, quote, old-timers, unquote. The year 2003 or 2004 is the closest I could come. I came on board 7 years ago. I'm not one of the originators, but we've been around since the early 2000s.
Well, even though you're not an originator, you are an organizer. So you have another O going for you. Good for you.
I do.
Yes, the tour, it's unique. It includes studios extending from Bayport and Stillwater, Minnesota, down to Hudson, Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, and Eastern Minnesota have a fine tradition of art tours, spring and fall. You'll be able to meet and share conversations with artists working in a variety of media, including photography, wood, painting, fiberglass, poetry, and sculpture. And as Charlotte alluded earlier, the tour features artwork for sale. What kind of demonstrations are we going to be able to see?
Well, we will be having a Raku demonstration at Joe Samuelson's site, the Terra Incognita Studio in Stillwater. And I know in my studio, I always have a just-started painting where people can see how I've sketched it onto the canvas and begun the painting process. And they'll also see my thumbnail sketch and my watercolor study where I work out the colors, the palette. Because people often think art is magic, but every single artist has a step-by-step process. My process will be on display. And as far as the other artists go, the tools of their trade are there. Our printmaker has her tools set out. A lot of conversation occurs around that because the majority of them look pretty dangerous, and the outcomes are delightful prints.
Sure.
So we have the information about our process at every single site, if not a hands-on demo. And the year I did try to demo, I was so busy talking to people, I just couldn't do anything of quality worth watching. So I prefer to talk to people and show them and talk about it versus a hands-on demo. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I appreciate that answer. And if art is magic, then your brush is your magic wand.
It is.
Okay, well, I'm going to fill people in on the hours and the dates and all the minutiae that people need to know about the St. Croix Valley Art Opener Studio Tour next weekend. Tell me about the tour coinciding with something special at a fairgrounds. What's that all about?
On Saturday the 19th, the Greater Stillwater Area Chamber of Commerce is putting on a food truck extravaganza out at the Washington County Fairgrounds.
Ooh.
With, I believe, over 40 food trucks, well-spaced, and something that we have been helping advertise as they've been helping advertise us on their site.
Cool.
So, you know, even though it's Father's Day weekend, what a fun thing to do with Dad. Take in some art studios, go feed them at the Washington County Fairgrounds, and then do some more studios.
Yeah, imagine the scenario. You guys walking into the living room, Dad sitting in his Lazy Boy, and you say, "Hey, guess what we're doing this weekend, Dad?" And you're included. And he says, "What?" "We're going on an art studio tour." And he goes, "Oh, really?" And then you say, "But there's a ton of food trucks included." And he jumps out of the chair. He's ready to go. That's going to get all the dads going.
You know, and even the dads not so eager would have a fun time.
Yes. All right. The website to get all the information, including locations and maps and hours, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is artopener.org.
Please go to our Facebook page, Art Opener. Please like and share so we spread the word that way.
Good idea. Charlotte Schuld, thanks so much for being with us here on WPR, and have a great weekend. I hope you have throngs.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Art Opener Studio Tour is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next weekend, June 18th through the 20th. Hours are 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Have fun and drive carefully.
Support for WPR comes from Door County's Hardy Gallery, offering the 2021 Door County Arts Map, with information on over 70 galleries throughout Door and Kewaunee counties. More information is available at thehardy.org.
Support also comes from Neff's Pianos on Water Street in Eau Claire, offering new and refurbished pianos and featuring a virtual tour available at neffspianos.com. Neff's Pianos, the finest showroom of new and used pianos.
Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. So nice of you to visit this week. Well, the Cats are starting to find their ways out of the bag after a very truncated season three because of you-know-what. Pablo Center in Eau Claire is planning and looking forward to a fourth season designed to help us forget you-know-what. It's not easy squeezing information out of Jason Anderson, Pablo's director, and for the whole enchilada, we'll need to wait until all the announcements are made, and that is coming shortly. But I decided to see what we might find out now, so I visited the impressive Pablo meeting room overlooking the Chippewa River. I fully remember the conversation in the balcony as the pandemic began to take hold. And here we are a year and a few odd months, literally odd, after that. And people are beginning now to exhale. It won't soon be forgotten, but give me the Jason Anderson impression of the ride we've been on. The roller coaster ride that might as well have been named Baptism by Fire.
What a lead-in, Al. You know, I think as we come into summer, it's very much like the American road trip, right? Regardless of the generation that you're in, there's one question that always remains on any American road trip, and that is, are we there yet? And for the last 15 months, it has been, are we there yet? And I'm really quickly reaching the point to get to tell you, we're there. Ooh. And it has been a very windy, hilly, with more valleys than maybe peaks along the way, but truly, what a journey that by the time we reopen this fall, will have been closed the same amount of time that we were open the first time we went through this.
Wow, that's a perspective.
That's one perspective. And to just think of the challenge of any business leader faces when thinking about staff and operating expenses and how to keep a facility of this nature and what it means to this region and community alive. But not only that, our work at the state and national level on major aid relief packages. So there's been a very heavy weight on the shoulders here.
Give me, if you can, the biggest impression that you feel like you're going to be left with after all the dust settles. And I mean impression of probably people, mostly, and how we have handled it. As a nation, we haven't been that impressive. There hasn't been a heck of a lot of togetherness. But let's talk about Western Wisconsin and Eau Claire, the patrons for whom this place was built, and the people whose job it has been to run the place. You can exclude yourself because you'll probably give yourself a good rating. You have to be impressed because this was just weird. And who would have expected this? People weren't prepared for it. We were blindsided.
There's a lot there. So human beings in general, want to have the communal experience, right? We're designed to explore the human condition together. We're a tribal microorganism of planet Earth. We want to be together. We were never meant to be isolated. And you're absolutely right. There wasn't a rule book. And I think worldwide, everyone was looking for a rule book or a playbook of how do you survive a pandemic. No one knew the right answers. I am most impressed with how Eau Claire and Chippewa have responded as a region. We've led the way, and we look at where our vaccination rates have come to. And especially here in Eau Claire, I saw the nonprofits, you and I speaking last spring about Together Chippewa Valley working together in fundraising mechanisms to ensure the smallest nonprofits survive. And then the way that the chamber and business leaders worked together with the recovery task force to guide us through the unknown and in the void of leadership, providing leadership at a regional level where it has the highest impact. And really, for me personally, knowing that we would be the last to open, so we're the last to come back, watching, waiting, being disappointed, encouraged, disappointed, excited, it's been a range of emotions, but maintaining constant, steady communication throughout has been most important. And now, as we sit here seeing people start to explore summer and know that we're headed somewhere positive again, feels really positive.
I remember that when this place was being built and I was brought up to this part, it's kind of a bay window.
Confluence Conference Room.
Along the river side of Pablo Center. I remember mentioning to whoever it was giving me the tour, and we were in a shell. There weren't even walls built yet. So the breeze was coming in our faces. I remember saying I felt like a captain of a ship as I was standing on this half circle of, you know what a pilot house looks like on a big ship. That's what I felt like, and that's what it feels like here. As I look down on the tubers going by on a beautiful June early afternoon, this place turned out to be what I imagined it. Interestingly, the COVID-19 experience is going to be forever a part of Pablo's history and its legacy. Someday, long into the future, when it's raised to make room for something brand new, people are going to remember what it had to endure in its adolescence.
And it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to get to reopen a facility 3 years after opening it the first time. And we took the last 15 months to think about what were all the things if we could do different. If we hadn't been building the airplane while flying it to open in the fall of 2018, which was our goal, could we get the construction caught up 3 months from when I started in the fall of 2017? Could we make up 3 months of construction time? Could we be ready to open in fall of 2018? We were in such a mad sprint that staff were exhausted. We had lost a center of where did we want to go? We were just hoping, kind of in a wing and a prayer, can we open the doors and no one know and just present magic? Mm-hmm. And we've spent the last 15 months, what could we do differently? And how can this building fulfill the hopes and dreams that so many donors, sponsors, and communities in the region were looking for us? How can we be leaders? How can this building serve the purposes? But to learn that, you need to engage with community members. You need to listen. You need to be willing to make change. I feel we've done an incredible job of that, but that can't be my testament. That has to be those people engaging with us, the building. But I really view this fall as a chance to reopen the facility. Uh-huh. And that will be the great story. How did we pivot during COVID? How did the things we pivoted to, how will they become part of our ethos and part of our makeup? And what will Pablo Center anew be when we reimagine and reemerge this fall?
In a weird psychological way, a grand reopening is going to be as or maybe more exciting than the original opening. People watched it go up and they expected to have this wonderful experience, and we all did. And then it was taken away from us. We couldn't come anymore. But now we can come back. As I said, psychologically, the feelings will be different. The smiles will be as broad. The pride will be as big.
I think on September 12th, when we host our large open house that will be open to the community to come back and explore the building and tour the shops and see what it's like to be in a costume shop or scene shop and walk across the stages.
You may have forgotten what we look like.
Well, and I think people have forgotten what we look like and how great it will feel to hear live music come out of the main PAs in the two rooms and us to do in-person live events. We've been really great at doing streaming events. We're yearning so badly to have the roar of a crowd back in this building.
Yeah. as we are anticipating roaring. We're in the conference room at Pablo Center at the Confluence with Jason John Anderson, Executive Director. Okay, season four, or maybe we should call it season 3B. What do you think?
I'll go with season four. Okay.
What are you working on? You don't have any papers in front of you. Do you have this all memorized?
There's no way I have all 400 events memorized.
Ooh, 400. That's a good hors d'oeuvre.
That's a really good teaser, and that this will be the most jam-packed calendar that we will likely have for the foreseeable future. We have events from the end of our second season. We have an entire third season, much as you alluded to. And we have 100 brand new events that the customer hasn't even seen yet that we're excited to share. A lot of Broadway headed to this season, and we're so excited to have those events tucked in.
Good. That's all you're going to say. Well, I know you said lots of Broadway.
Well, we're excited that we'll have the Rent 25th Anniversary Farewell Tour as part of our cool lineup. Of course, Stomp finally going to be here with all four right performances. Waitress finally going to be here. Ah. So knowing that we're going to have all that, plus Anais Mitchell, the writer of Hadestown, she'll be here with Bonnie Light Horseman, her own band, but she's also going to do an entire solo set. Sean Carey joining her on stage, and JT and a number of other great Eau Claire's artists joining her that evening. So on February 5th, that for us is a huge win to have Anais back here in the city and especially here at Pablo Center.
What are you hearing from agents and from acts, their perspective on the renaissance, the comeback, the reopening?
You know, our involvement with NIVA, the National Independent Venue Association, the formation of that, our connections with First Ave, 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis, and Pabst Theater Group, the optimism is quite high. The honest conversation that's currently happening in the industry is the idea or concept of Roaring Twenties that came out of the 1920s after the Spanish flu pandemic. And the idea of, are we moving now a century later into what will be the Roaring Twenties, and the hope that this resurgence, this idea of people during the pandemic making things at home and making crafts and connecting to their own creativity, to now get to share that with the rest of the world, and better yet, share in that human condition to live events, live music, cheering together with fans, family, and friends.
I liken it to the end of Prohibition, and I wasn't around.
Neither was I, but I have a feeling we'd both have a really great time.
Yes, we would have. I would have celebrated that, I do believe. Pablo is a building, and it's just a shell of what it can be without people inside. Anything you'd like to say to those people who remember the shows that they were able to attend in the first 2 to 2.5 seasons, but have been only able to drive by or peek in the windows, wondering when the valet parkers would be back on Graham Avenue and when the hospitality hosts would be back behind the bars? I'm sure you are working on your speech for the 12th of September. But to the people who have, as I said, driven by and looked in the windows and remembered when, what are you saying to them?
You know, any part of this operation, any person or individual that's passionate about this building, the last year of walking past it, around it, has been exceptionally challenging, because it was designed, as you so eloquently alluded, to having people come through the doors. And now having people on the plaza splash pad and jumping in the fountains throughout the day, there's nothing more we want to do than throw these doors open and see thousands of people inside here cheering together. So as we approach September, patrons, guests, donors, sponsors, we're ready to welcome you back. Mm-hmm. Valet will be back. The bar staff, the bartenders, the box office, ushers, our incredible tech staff that make this building run seamlessly. We're ready. We're eager. We're chomping. As you saw, as you walked through the offices, offices are full. The full-time staff is here.
Cool.
And we will be filling all the part-time positions as we get to August and September. So we are ready, eager, and we can't wait to give the Pablo experience to anyone who's willing to come back and join us.
Oh, there's a lot willing, believe me. One of my favorite adages is, a ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are for.
No, and we are ready to sail. And although, as you told me a while ago, it takes a while to turn an aircraft carrier around. Had we known how quickly this region and community would successfully respond after vaccination rates increased, We would have probably hired part-time staff earlier and looked for an earlier opening. But as we missed that key summer decision point, predominantly driven by lower vaccination rates than intended at the time, as we see the rollback of restrictions, we're quite confident fall is the point that we can produce the Pablo experience as guests expect.
I hope you take this as a compliment. You look wiser now.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I'm sure you feel that way. I mean, everyone who's had to tap dance and tap dance for a long time should feel that way.
I've joked with other executive directors around the community that this last year's felt like a presidential year and that we often see how dramatically presidents age through their tenure. This has been an aging year, but wisdom has come. There's a new sense of calm and center about what is important. The staff hear me joke about island time. Do we find enough time in the day to be reflective, to make the best decisions, just not responsive, and to not lose that balance? Because this building means so much to so many people. We have to make the right decisions and be leaders. That takes trust. Change only happens at the speed of trust.
Tough to say, but you guys are better for it.
I am so ecstatic, Al, about who we are today and where the horizon line exists for this sailing ship. There's almost a hint of bring on the waves, bring on the breeze, bring out the sun. It's our moment.
Thank you for having me. It's good to see you in person.
It's great to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Come again.
Couple more announcements for you. The Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake is almost brand new with a lot of upgrades, and the 2021 season begins June 16th with the comedy Ripcord playing the 16th to 19th and 21st to 26th. The Chippewa Valley Museum is hosting its first blood drive. This coming Monday, the 14th, there are Red Cross blood shortages, and it's your chance to donate. And as a thank you, you're going to get free admission to the museum's main building exhibits. Hours are 11:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week, and we are going to meet again in a few weeks. It's amazing how calming some of those V words are. Vaccination, vacation, you get the idea. Taking all this time off is, frankly, the result of rarely doing so in the past and needing to use it or lose it. We'll have some announcements along the way to remind you who we are and that we'll be back and some of what's going on. In the meantime, enjoy your summer. Get out, get involved. Don't hesitate to share things and people you'd like to hear about and from. Email us at spectrumwest@wpr.org. For now, thanks, Kate, for archiving and promotion, and Rick for supervision. And most of all, thank you guys. And if you'd like to hear past programs, you can go to WPR.org, click on shows, and you'll find us there. You can listen, download, have a good time. We'll see you in a few weeks. Thanks.